Well, hello everyone, it's Bianca here, and welcome to the Voice of Law podcast, your daily podcast on the digital health revolution. This week we're talking about artificial intelligence, and I started the topic last week looking at artificial intelligence personhood status, or the notion of artificial intelligence personhood status. Now, before we start to dive a little bit deeper into this topic, I just wanted to kind of mention what the plan is for the Voice of Law podcast. And I actually haven't mentioned this yet, that each series or each season, pardon me, of the podcast has 30 episodes. And we are on episode 29 today. So this week we are actually finishing season one. And I'm really proud that we're going to have 30 episodes collected over the past month of the Voice of Law podcast. I am so thrilled with how it's going. I really appreciate anyone who's been listening in, for tuning in every day. I really, really appreciate that and all the support that you've given me to kind of get this off the ground. Essentially, in that time, while we have a bit of a break from the Voice of Law podcast before season two, just like a TV show, right, where you have different seasons, in that time, you can go back, re-listen to episodes, we can engage via discussion. In that period of time over the next month, whilst kind of waiting to kick off season two, I will be reposting episodes and posting more resources. And so if there's been any updates since I posted a podcast, I will represent that in the comments when I repost. So there's still a lot to kind of to look out for. There's still a lot of discussion that we can have in that period of time. I'm going to be with my head in the books over the next month, really focusing on my PhD thesis, which I'm near completion, and I should have that completed in the next few months. So I'm actually really excited to go back to my PhD thesis and work on that. My PhD is on digital health lawmaking. I assess lawmaking processes for a system called the My Health Record system in Australia, and I use that as a case study to analyze, to investigate lawmaking processes in the field of digital health. So really, really looking forward to that, and really excited obviously to bring you season two, because we're going to have fresh content. We're going to take a deeper dive into all of the concepts that we've considered before. We'll also look at new topics, and I'm just really pleased with all the different kinds of topics that we've been covering to date. I think we've really covered an incredible amount of information, diverse range of content from tech to law. We've looked at theory, we've looked at practice, a little bit of everything, history, now and future. And yeah, just really excited for the future of this podcast, the Voice of Law podcast. So I just thought I'd kind of set the tone for the week before we kind of deep dive into this week's topic the topic for the next couple of episodes at least. So let's talk a little bit more about this notion of AI personhood status. And last week on Friday, I kind of set the context by really stating the problem in need of a solution and why we may need to even consider whether AI could be classified as having personhood status. And by that, I mean having legal personhood status. And I mentioned a quote from last week, and I'll repost that quote to this week's episodes, but really just looking at the fact that the law is built on doctrines that really focus primarily on human conduct. And you know, when we consider this in light of artificial intelligence, those doctrines may not function and certainly may need to be tested into the future in terms of how they could function in a range of new contexts as technology continues to develop and get more advanced over time. Now, if lawmakers were faced with this question of AI personhood status and whether this is indeed a concept worthy of being enshrined into law. Whether it be the government assessing this, whether it be the courts looking at this, there are two factors that I would like to talk about in this podcast today. And one is that they may very well, or they probably will need to consider the definition of person, that word person, and what it means to be a person. They will also need to consider, most likely, the purpose of artificial intelligence, or whether it be more broadly, artificial intelligence as a field, which is very broad, or more narrowly, looking at specific areas of AI or specific applications of AI. The definition of person and the purpose of artificial intelligence would need to be considered, whether it be in the courts or whether it be by government. So I thought what we would do today is just talk about the definition of person and talk a little bit about the purpose of artificial intelligence. And in tomorrow's episode, I'm going to go through some of the different arguments, I guess, that you could put forward when defining the meaning of a person or when considering the purpose of AI. Now, just bear in mind as we work through this discussion that the potential reason why AI personhood status would need to be considered is that broad reason I gave before, in the fact that the law considers mainly human conduct rather than conduct of an AI, for example. But also, and this is tied into what I just mentioned, determining where liability is to fall. Is it going to fall on the manufacturer of the technology or some other party? Is it going to fall on the AI? And what does that mean? And what does that look like? And when assessing all of that, one potential solution that has been put forward by legal theorists is this notion of AI personhood status. Okay, so the idea is that by classifying the AI as having legal personhood status, that could help clarify the legal position and actually be of potential assistance in governing the field of artificial intelligence. So it's very possible that if a court would need to consider whether an AI technology was negligent as its own legal entity, they may very well need to consider the meaning of the word person and reasonable person. And if there was legislation that was being interpreted by courts, they would need to consider the exact wording of that legislation and various possible meanings of the legislation and words contained within it, which we call broadly, we call them constructions. And for example, when you construe the words person or reasonable person, you could define various different constructions classified as, for example, the broadest construction, broad constructions, narrow and narrowest constructions of the word person. So when we consider the legal meaning of words, we're not just going to the dictionary to assess what they mean. We actually have to consider a range of different constructions. The dictionary may assist us in determining the broadest and the narrowest different constructions of those words. In Australia, it tends to be that the dictionary definition is actually not considered as the first step when you determine the constructions or the various possible meanings of a provision or words contained therein. So it's actually really interesting when you start to kind of deep dive into the process of interpretation in courts in Australia and in other countries, you can start to get a sense of where things like a dictionary definition are going to fit in. I'm not going to go into that in this podcast. This is starting to get into kind of statutory interpretation, which is something I've taught previously, something that is of great interest to many lawyers. I'm not going to really go into that in a lot of detail, but just really interesting. So let's say eventually a court may need to, and I'm just throwing out a hypothetical here, they need to consider the definition of what it means to be a person. And let's say they go and have a look at a couple of dictionaries. In Australia, the Macquarie and the Oxford dictionaries tend to be cited quite a bit. So I had a look at those dictionaries, and they state that, for example, the definition of a person at law is as follows. Person is any human being or artificial body of people having rights and duties before the law. Secondly, a human being, a person is a human being as distinguished from an animal or a thing. And in philosophy, a person is a self-conscious or rational being. So that's really interesting. The word person at law, according to these definitions that I consider from these specific dictionaries, state that a person is any human being or artificial body of people having rights and duties before the law. Really, really interesting. We're going to discuss all of this in more detail tomorrow. I just want to introduce these definitions to you. And next, there's this notion of the purpose of AI, which would need to be considered by court potentially, or by government lawmakers when they're trying to determine this issue of personhood status. Now, I don't want to oversimplify that and state that there are only two mechanisms by which this kind of matter could be considered or brought before the legal system. It's far more complex than that, so I don't want to oversimplify it, but I'm just posing two hypothetical or potential ways in which this may be considered. And two factors that may very well be considered being the definition of a person and the purpose of AI. If you have knowledge in the area of stat interpretation, if you have knowledge in the area of law, you would very well understand what I mean by this and what the potential weight of each would be, and the range of other factors that would need to be considered as well. But you know, for this podcast, I'm keeping it quite general. So when looking at the purpose of AI, why is this necessary? Well, the purpose of law or laws and the lawmaker's intention in creating those laws are central to how a court could construe the meaning of that word person. And fundamental rights could also be considered when construing the meaning of words. When we look at the areas of law that we have at the moment, many areas like torts, criminal law, corporations law, amongst others, quite obviously did not anticipate artificial intelligence. These are laws that are created a very long time ago. And when we are interpreting laws of that nature, we have to consider whether, you know, how we're going to apply these concepts to this new field of artificial intelligence. Legislation that governs areas like torts or criminal law or corporations law very well may not have within its purpose clause or within the underlying intention of the law itself, the purpose of governing artificial intelligence or technologies like that. So it could be very difficult for, you know, a court to assess whether the legislation can govern AI and the issue of AI personhood status at all. And so when I think through the potential ways this could happen, maybe a matter, you know, and again, this is just hypothetical, maybe a matter could go before a court. The court cannot determine the purpose of the law and whether it governs AI. Maybe then the matter would be referred for legislative consideration for future policy and lawmaking. And then submissions to members of the public and stakeholders on the matter would occur. Alternatively, another pathway is that Parliament could consider these matters of AI personhood in a proactive rather than reactive manner, as I just described. Now let's look at an example of this. In 2016, the European Parliament proposed to grant personhood status to intelligent machines. And the proposal was refuted by over 150 experts in AI, robotics, commerce, law, and ethics from 14 countries. They all signed an open letter. And one of the concerns was that affording personhood status to AI would reduce the liability of manufacturers. But that if the Parliament was to go ahead and attribute AI personhood status, then the AI device, they said, would need to be insured and would be, you know, would have to consider who would be responsible to make good of any mistakes and pay for liabilities incurred. So really interesting that there has been this kind of proactive approach. 2016, European Parliament proposed to grant personhood status to intelligent machines. And then we had that rebuttal by these experts from 14 countries. So that's quite interesting. I think it's really important that we do not lose sight in the debate of this topic. We do not lose sight of why we are creating artificial intelligence in the first place. If it's to help humans, right? If that's the purpose, then we need to keep that in close sight as we start to consider the potential solutions to problems that are going to arise in the future. And we also need to keep that in mind as we're developing technologies for the future as well. Okay, so there's some food for thought. It's quite a long episode today, actually. Have a think about all of that. You might have to re-listen to the episode just to, you know, take down some notes, add some comments, ask me questions if you'd like to, and we can discuss this further. Tomorrow, I'm going to actually start to go even more in depth about the types of arguments that could come up when we're thinking about whether AI could constitute a person. Because even though we'd be considering this in the context of AI legal personhood status, part of that assessment is no doubt going to be determining whether AI could constitute a person as well, or a reasonable person. All right, there you go. That's the episode for today. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a fantastic day, and I'll speak to you soon.